nicknames for different ones. You know, you remember back in school, however, and some people had nicknames that weren't very friendly. You remember anybody like that? People made fun of and they had a bad nickname? Why did they have a bad nickname? Why did someone call somebody something that was not very nice? Because of relationships. Lack of a relationship, maybe. But we don't want to dwell on the bad ones this morning. We want to think about the good nicknames. You know, Daniel, I don't remember. I guess my mother gave him his nickname, Yod. I don't know where it come from. I asked Wendy before I got it. Where did that come from? She said, your mother. All Daniel's life, Yod. Don't know what it means. Don't know anything about it, but it stuck. Jay, on the other hand, Jay started off being Jay Ruth. And then we went from Jay Ruth to Jay Bird. And I think back how I would yell for them out in the yard or in the house. I would, hey, yo, come here. Come here, Jay Ruth. Whatever the case may be, some of you laughing, pointing at each other right now because you got nicknames. Wendy's nickname is Lou. Probably told y'all that. We first got married, it might have been dating, I don't know. You know how women do. I'm getting fat. She was about 20, 21 year old. She's older than I am, by the way. She asked me one time, I think she's getting fat. Just like Lulu on Hee Haw. After that, it just stuck. I called her Lou all these years. But now on her Christmas presents this year, every year pretty much, I sign it Lou. To Lou. You see, it means something to us now. Not that I pick on her, not that I pick on her and make fun of her, she knows that that is something special between me and her. Now me, she calls me PJ. I'm not going to tell you what it means. Don't y'all ask her, and Wendy don't tell her. PJ. So whenever she called me, PJ, what are you doing? Oh, nothing, Lou. What are you doing? We built this relationship over the years that we can call each other names. And it don't mean that we're making fun of someone, Dale. It means I love you. My kids called Keith Uncle Keith. And we're no relation, none whatsoever. Except we're buffet brothers. My grandchildren are growing up calling Keith Uncle Keith. Why is that? It's because of the relationship. Because of the love. Nick, I look at Nick and I think he is my younger brother. And we've got, I think, that relationship. We get on to each other some days, and he's been on me pretty hard lately. He's going to quit. I'm going to show him how an older brother treats a younger brother. But that's a relationship that we've built. Mark and David, we grew up pretty much together, seeing each other. And that's the relationship we have. And there's love there. Hayden, I watched him all the way growing up. Him and Jay were real good friends, and Jacob and different ones. And I've seen them from just little bitty babies to grown men, faithful Christian men. Relationships that we build, they mean something to us. This morning, for just a few minutes, I want us to think about relationships. And you're free for your mind to roam and to think about the relationship that you have with your husband or your wife or your children or whoever it may be. Maybe they're gone. But you can still remember that bond. You can remember that love that you had and maybe that nickname or that thing, that saying that y'all had for each other that no one really knew what it meant except for y'all. And you know, it goes even deeper than that, don't it? Sometimes it's just eye contact. When you really know someone and you have love for someone, you can look at someone and they can tell whether you're happy or whether you're sad or whether you're hurting or no matter what's going on in your life, they can read your eyes and your face. And they can know you because of that great relationship that you built. What is a relationship here on this earth? What is it really worth to each one of us? I want to say, first of all, this morning, it's worth a great deal. Because without the relationships that we have, we could not be the people that we are. We've all faced things in our life. We've had trials, we had tribulations, we had ups, we had downs. But you look, and for the most part, I think most of us would agree. I hope that everyone can agree. But without my wife, I couldn't have been as happy as I've been all the years that I've been. And I'm sure that you could say that about your wife and your husband. You look around, and everybody's not blessed this way, and we all have a struggle with our children, but you think about your children, you think about that relationship that you have, and so many blessings come from children. A lot of worries come from them too, though. But the blessings come from our children as well. So how important are those relationships as we think about them while we're on this earth? Number one, it's very important because it's going to help us to stay focused on God. This morning was a great morning in most homes. It was a morning that the children woke up, could not wait to get into the living room or wherever the Christmas tree was, and they go to looking around, and Ella this morning and Cruz both was wild, and Ella opened hers twice as fast as Cruz. Cruz, he liked to savor the moment. He would open it, he would play with it for a minute, then he would go the next. And Ella, on the other hand, was just wide open. She got done, she said, another one, another one, another one. I said, honey, that's it. Then she found a stocking. But most people this morning found a lot of happiness there in their home. And you can't help but cry just a little bit when you think about all the love that's going in that home. The gifts that you buy for each other. The thought that goes into it. It brings us closer and closer and closer together. But you know, it's got to be more than those gifts. In our homes, we've got to go further than just what we get for each other on Christmas time or whatever that special occasion is. It's got to be that we bring ourselves to a relationship with our family that we're helping. Now listen to me. That we're helping each other to be a better Christian. Helping each other to be more faithful to God each and every day of our life. You know, there's trouble in homes. There's no doubt about it. There's arguments that take place inside homes. There's disagreements. There's one wanting one thing and one wanting another, but there's still got to be love there. And at the end of the day, we've got to be encouragers for our husbands and our wives and especially our children. We've got to encourage our children to be faithful to God, and that should be the very center of everything that we do. Second thing this morning, how is our relationship with Jesus? You know, that's the greatest of all relationships that we can have. Wendy and I and you and your spouse and your family, you're going to help each other and you're going to encourage each other and you're going to love each other. But there's no greater love than Jesus. Greater love hath no man than this. What does Scripture say? That a man lay down his what? His life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. This morning, the greatest decision that anyone can make is that to become a child of God, to become a Christian. You know, I think sometimes we take the plan of salvation, we take the end of a sermon, and we take that for granted sometimes, and we think to ourselves, Tim is about done, or the preacher is about done, because now he's going to start talking about how that we need to hear the Word of God, and we've got to read it, and we've got to understand it, and because when we hear it and we read it, we believe it, and it changes our life. Does the Word of God really change your life? If you say no, why not? Because when we take the scriptures and we hold them in our hand and we open the Bible and we read how much Jesus really loves us in the sense that he died for our sins. You know, Keith, I appreciate his prayer this morning, what he said in the prayer. Today the world says and recognizes that today is Jesus' birthday. What's most important to us as Christians? I'm thankful that Jesus was born. But I'm going to tell you, without his birth, he couldn't have died that death that he died. The scriptures tell us to recognize that death, that sacrifice, that life that he lived on this earth was so important. It impacted millions upon millions and millions of lives. Anyone that will ever come to know Jesus, it changes their life. His life changes our lives. But the scriptures tells us to recognize the death. And that's what belief does for us. It changes us and causes us, and this is the third thing that we like to talk about. We always talk about five things, and the third thing is that we repent, that we turn away from sin. And that's not that big of a chore, really, because when we give our heart and we give our life, we surrender to Jesus. We want to walk away from sin. Now, everybody is perfect, stand up. Nobody stood up. Why not? Because none of us are perfect. None of us even claim to be perfect. But you know, we become perfect. We become complete through Christ, through that blood. Because when we turn away from our sin and we confess Jesus as Lord and we're baptized for the remission of our sins, those sins at that point that we have in our life are gone. And the only way that we ever obtain perfection or completeness, as the Bible calls it, is through the blood of Jesus. And how I know that is none of us can have a relationship with God at all without Jesus. And when we have him in our life, we have that relationship with our Father in heaven. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. You know, because of Christ's death, Christians can resist the devil, and the Bible says he will flee from you. John summed it up this way, and he said, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." This morning, the challenge for each one of us as we think about gifts and we think about relationships, who is greater in you this morning? Is it Jesus? If so, you're living a life on your way to heaven. But the other side of that, if we allow Satan to rule and control our life, then we're living in the world. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20 calls life here new and living way. And what I mean by that, the Bible teaches that Christ died, and upon his death, he opened the gates of heaven wide. And the writer of Hebrews calls that a new and living way. Nine times in the book of Acts, Christianity is called the way. The way. What kind of relationships do we have? What kind of relationship do you have this morning with your loved ones? The very ones that maybe you're sitting on the pew with this morning, is it a close relationship? Is it a relationship that's growing stronger and stronger and stronger every day? Or is it just kind of flatlining? Maybe it's not improving. Maybe it's going the wrong way. Well, you need to work on those relationships. Each one of them. What about your relationship with God? Is it kind of flatlined? Or is it growing stronger and stronger every day? You know, it has to be something that is a driving force in our life. A force that causes us to smile, a force that causes us to resist Satan, to fight the world and continue to stand up each and every day and in service. can't do what I used to do. So I was filming a little journal this morning. I thought he was going to fall, and I grabbed him. He said, my balance is not good. Mine's not either. So luckily, I grabbed you. We fell into each other and held each other up. It's kind of tough.